Jimmy Cliff with Sooner or Later. And his advice is better do it sooner than later, because it might just be too late. This is from his 1973 album, Struggling Man. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I'm delighted to be with you again today as we take on some questions that might unsettle us, but that doesn't mean they're not important and worth thinking about. So let's get straight to it. Oh, I'm just before I do that, I just wanted to say we're coming along with the presentations, so they ought to start very soon. I'm looking forward to it. All right. Are you more aware, less aware, or completely unaffected in your attitude about U.S. politics and its impact on your life? Are you more aware, less aware, or completely unaffected in your attitude about U.S. politics and its impact on your life? What say you? It's quite a series of changes we've been through in a very short time, and one would think that it's we're all in the same boat. We're all connected, and we're all analyzing the political landscape. But I'm talking to people, and they're not the least bit concerned. They think of politics now as something that would only cause their blood pressure to go up, but it does not yield anything in the way of benefits or advancement for them, so they try to stay away from it. But it's a very important question. Are you more aware, less aware, or unaffected, completely unaffected in your attitude about U.S. politics and its impact on your life? And, of course, a question like that will, of course, lead to a follow-up question, and we'll be asking for more details on your answer. But first, let's get the first part of the question answered. Are you more aware, less aware, or completely unaffected in your attitude about U.S. politics and its impact on your life? All right. The lines are open at 888-874-4888. Nobody's calling in yet. This is a little vexing to me. I've talked about it before. You have something to say, say it. You know, the lines are open. Don't waste a minute. All right, we wait for you this time, but, you know, we should just move along. If it hasn't caught your interest, it hasn't, but it's a very interesting question because it leads to another interesting question, perhaps which we don't normally think about because we're not asked to think about them. Any takers? If not, I'll move along. Okay. Here's the second one that you may consider. How do you measure or gauge your progress in life and that of the nation as a whole? How do you measure or gauge your progress in life and that of the nation as a whole? Jeremiah from Harlem, you're on the air.
How are you today, Eutrice?
I'm hanging in. How are you?
I'm pretty well, I would say, all things considered. trying to stay positive. trying to keep what we call on the hardcore rock scene, PMA, positive mental attitude.
That's great. That's the way you want
to do it. The United States and what goes on here politically, it's old hat by now. I'm just seeing the depths, the underbelly, the ugliness of what power politics is all about more and more clearly. But unfortunately, it's a confirmation of what we've already witnessed. When I see what's going on now with these vaccine mandates and whatnot, my mind draws the correlation to Flint, Michigan, and that whole nightmare that this government effectively poisoned its own citizens and then sat back with their arms crossed and produced rhetoric and no infrastructural solution, no legal justice to be implemented. I'm recalling weapons of mass destruction and that claim, and Colin Powell going before the United Nations to deceive the world to justify a genocidal act against a sovereign people. I'm thinking about Libya, and people have the nerve to call the invasion of Libya under Obama his biggest mistake. No, it wasn't a big mistake. It was an outright atrocity. It was a war crime that he presided over. And he wasn't the only one, which is another terrible argument I hear. They say, oh, well, he did that with Italy and France. Well, in crime, that's called accomplices. If the police show up at my door and say, you're under arrest for robbing a bank, I can't say, well, I did that with my buddies. Oh, it's a friend's night out. Okay, that's okay then. Never mind. Okay, they arrest you, and they go and arrest the other accomplices. So, I've just seen America over and over and over again. And unfortunately, it's nothing new. It's just getting more bizarre and more distorted and more perverse. And,
How, therefore, do you equip yourself psychologically to deal with it?
I have a warrior's mentality, Utrice. I'm a martial artist. I draw strength from my ancestors. I draw strength from the great spirit, if you will. We are all going to live. We are all going to die. No one is guaranteed immortality. In fact, I could really say about it. I'm communicating with other people who are of like mind, and we're strengthening each other. We're planning, we're engaged in community building and art making. And I'm just trying to connect with the people who see what's going on, in the same manner, more or less, as how I see what's going on. And I'm trying to be patient with the people who I see are slowly waking up and finally starting to ask a question. Because to me, this is like a spell that's been cast over society, and the way to break the spell is through questioning.
All right. Well, thank you for giving us a good start today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Utrice. I look forward to the additional comments.
Yes, me too.
Thank
you. Gary from Hempstead, you're on the air.
Oh, beloved, good afternoon. How are you?
Fine, thank you, Gary. How are you?
I'm terrific, thank you.
Terrific? Gosh, no flies on you.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you quite well.
I would have to say I'm very aware of the politics. I'm a little bit of a news junkie, even though probably over the last couple of months, with all the emphasis on the January 6th insurrection that's going, feels like it's going nowhere, and all the talk about Omicron and, the repetitive news discussions, I'm probably watching the news a bit less than I have in the past, but I'm very aware of the political environment. I absolutely feel that it affects me and my family. And I think it affects us adversely because I see the swing in the political structure changing greatly. Whereas I believe that the Republicans will get back in power. Some people will say that that's not really a change because, as I think Brother David from Brooklyn says, that they're both the opposite sides of the same coin. So I'm not so sure how much it's changing. But I think that the facade of protection, the facade that we can appeal to a system that will provide justice and some type of ability for us to have recourse when there's harms done to us, I think that facade is totally gone. And I think that the facade that we have someone in our corner, meaning the Democratic Party, I think that's all gone too. They've from my perspective, shown themselves to be completely impotent, and I'm questioning their, as a group, their real true desire to really empower us and protect us.
Well, you're saying some pretty heavy stuff today, Gary, and you're being quite absolute. You say the notion of the Democratic Party as, in effect, a servant of the people, that is totally shattered. You use the word completely gone. What makes you say that?
Joe Biden just recently said he's tired of talking about, or I'm paraphrasing, tired of talking about what's going on with voting rights when he should have been taking action day one. And also, you know, Nancy Pelosi just showed recently about politics and money and politicians and self-interest. There was a proposal made whereby politicians could not, I believe, trade or make money on trade or something to that effect. I caught a little glimpse of it on the news, but it was very clear to me from the report that she was in opposition to that. So, you know, these folks, they get into Congress, if they're not rich, a lot of them get very wealthy. So one would have to question, how does this happen? And, you know, whose interests have they been serving all this time when they're acquiring all of these resources?
So let us come back. Give me a declarative sentence about what your feeling is about right now.
Say that again?
Could you give me a declarative sentence about what you're feeling right now about this thing called politics?
Completely frustrated and dismayed. You know, politics, as has been discussed on many of the previous programs of our variety of speakers, is about power. So it's not just the fact that black people and a lot of, you know, other people of good mind and good thoughts will be losing their ability to vote, you know, for anyone other than a Republican. But politics is also control of resources. So it's not just that you can't vote, it's who's going to get the monies allocated on the local, state, and federal levels that come into different areas of the country, and who's going to benefit. So that greatly concerns me.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us today. Thank you.
You have a wonderful day, beloved.
Thank you. You too. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Chief. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. How are you?
Well, you know, me and the phones are just
hanging by your thumbs.
That's how we're going. Basically, I wanted to address the question that you had brought up about how you judge yourself and as far as progressing and how you judge America. In that same context, if I'm not paraphrasing. But first, I wanted to give a shout-out to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, that was my voice you heard in Harlem with your band Earth Driver when you were doing that song by Michael Ferrante. He had said that last week, and I was listening to it. That's what let him know. Yes, that was me. Pertaining to the question, the greatest way I had of judging myself, or I learned it a long time ago when I was young, was that could I learn from my mistakes? If I could really sit down and reflect on a personal level and learn and see where I made a fault at, and truly critically look at myself. And how that pertains to America, I don't believe America is capable of doing that, so I don't see any real progress in the American experiment. I believe all of the potential people of character are gone, and I believe we're just as far as government is concerned, just going through the motions. When you have 90% of the wealth being controlled by 10% of the people, and people profiting in a time where hardship, food famine, disease, viral infection is prevalent, and you have corporations turning $25 billion, $35 billion profits in the space of 8 and 9 months, there's no moral, there's no ethical, there's no righteous way that a government should allow that to happen to its people. And I feel that this government is gone. I don't feel it makes any progress because it has no potential anymore. It can't learn from its mistakes because it constantly repeats them.
You're painting a rather dismal picture today. You see no possibility of a turn back, people trying to say, okay, we lost our way and we should get back to what it is we're supposed to be doing?
No, I see no light at the end of the tunnel for this country, honestly. That's why I'm in the process of trying to leave, as I told you before.
Yes.
And in the immediate future, I don't see any promise as far as electoral politics. I see the Republicans regaining the House and the Senate. And in the 2024 election, unless there is some paradigm shift in the general consciousness of this country, I see another Trump. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but there's been no change. The electoral college is still in place. Nobody's touching that. I mean, on the ground, the political mathematics are still the same. It's still a numbers game. You can still come up with a viable formula to get you to be president outside of popular vote, which is totally ridiculous. We've had election after election, from Bush v. Gore to now, where the popular vote was discounted and we played this political numbers game, and no one's fighting that. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and no one's talking about free health care. We're, this is the only nation one of the few nations on the world that doesn't have any free health care, and no one's talking about it, especially now. All of these things just bode no goodwill for me as far as this country is concerned. And maybe sometime in the distant future, when all of these people have died off and gone on to creation, a new generation will come out and do something. Unfortunately, I won't be around to see it. Maybe I'll be blown around in the essence, but I don't think in the immediate future anything as good is coming out of this. It's just going to go from bad to worse.
Wow. You don't see any hope at all? You don't see 100% disaster?
On a local level, there are some movements that are gaining potential. Some things I'm involved with locally. But they're hyper-local. They're one issue concerned. People don't have the ability to look beyond. You've got to be all-encompassing. You've got to be able to open up your mind. You've got to get past your emotional response and look at it intellectually. A rising tide lifts all boats. And I may disagree with what part of what you're saying, but we can work together. And I don't see that. I see people defaulting to emotion. I see people defaulting to false community. I see people defaulting to their egos and not addressing the common problem, not addressing the greater good. They think that's cliched. Everybody's concerned with themselves, a cult of selfishness, a cult of personality. I don't see that ability to go beyond self and sacrifice for the greater good. I don't see it.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for bringing us that message today. Thank you. It allows us to stop and think and rethink. 888-874-4888. I'll throw in another question. Given the precarious times we're living in, do you nonetheless feel confident in the nation's systems of government? Given the precarious times we're living in, do you nonetheless feel confident in the nation's systems of government? And the last question for your consideration, do you privately panic about the country's leadership? Do you privately panic about the country's leadership? You could ponder while we take a break. We'll come right back and hear what you have to say. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. And just probing to find out what you're thinking and what you will say in response to some questions. I like to ask questions because sometimes people are completely unprepared, and sometimes they give you the most brilliant answers, and you're not prepared to hear them. Okay. Juan from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon, Juan.
Right. I'm a brown Latin American who's a construction worker.
Okay.
My community, the blue collar community, it's not hurt from, but we are urgently needed now more than ever, because we are the ones that build everything and fix everything. I'm calling you for a very special reason. I met a sister and her daughter. They're African American. They're homeless, but have a house. Again, they're homeless, but have a house. There isn't a support system in our community, in the black and brown community. We complain about gentrification, ethnic cleansing, redlining, and everything, but very little is being done. And it is heartbreaking to see this thing. I call another person that is well known in the New York City community to advocate for this sister and her daughter, and I didn't get any reply. I called PFW about 2 weeks ago, and I spoke to an African-American woman, thinking that she would have a little passion for her sisters, and nothing. And so sometimes you play Rebarreto's music. And my brother was his trumpet player in the 80s during the time that Celia Cruz was playing with him. And there is that a very important opportunity to incorporate the artistic community and the blue collar community, engineering community.
Well, are you answering the question?
No, I just want to.
I have a sense that you're on a different plane right now.
Right. I just want to say, will you allow me to leave my phone number on the program so that the martial artists will call me?
Well, it's not something that I would do.
It's very important. It's for the sake of his sister and her daughter.
Yes, but you can send whatever information you have. You'll need to send it, but I wouldn't encourage the publication of a phone number on the air.
What if I would give my phone number to the person that answers and he'll call the person that the martial artist and give my number to him? Would that be okay?
You're saying that the person that you're advocating for is a sister of his? Do I hear that right?
She is an African-American mother and daughter who have a house, but their house is in disrepair and they're homeless. because they cannot live in the house.
I hate to tell you this. I understand your keen interest in trying to help, but this is not the right way to do it. Because you also are taking on a responsibility that has a lot of legal ramifications as well. So people don't know you, and they may not be open to helping you. So it is best that you seek the advice from a local group in the community, and you ask them which is the best way to go about helping them.
I've been doing that. I have approached so many people, if I mention their names, you will recognize them, but there is a pessimism. People always give me negative reasons why it can't be done. And there are, I'm a construction worker.
The thing is that you need to be prepared for that, because there are so many games that are being played out here. You may think that people are being hard, but they're just being careful. And secondly, it is important that what you do should have integrity, and you present a more confident profile yourself when you seek out those places or people who you think can help, who are very much equipped to render some kind of help. But this was a long answer to your short question about whether you can leave a number. No, I would have to say no. I'm sorry.
Is it possible that someone can give my number to the martial artist that call?
No, not on the radio. We don't do that.
I'm not saying on the radio. I'm willing to leave my number with the person that picks up the phone when we call, and maybe he can contact the martial artist and give him my number. Is that possible?
I wouldn't encourage that. I'm sorry to say, for legal reasons.
Okay then. All right then. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, all.
Good afternoon.
Yes. You know, I've been thinking about the various questions, and what comes to my mind, this is the game, and the people are losing. The politics are nearly 99.9% control by the ruling class who runs both sides of the coin, Republican and Democrat. And that's where the people are. And many people don't understand the situation that they are in. If the ruling class does anything for the benefit of the masses of people, those things that they do are bones. And anytime they can, as I see it, when it's possible for them to take those bones back, they will. Because they're only interested in one thing, that is profit for those who rule, imperialism that's involved in that, and the devil with the people. This is about profit for the ruling class at the expense of everyone. Now, the ruling class controls the Congress. The people in the Congress, many of them are nothing but slugs, and they work for those who pay the big checks and whatnot. So the politics are in near complete control of the smaller ruling class that runs the country and much of the world. So that's what I look at when I think about politics. And that does not mean the people cannot educate themselves in some cases and resist. But the point is, you have to understand your enemy and what he's doing. And there are good examples of that right now. Gary talks about it all the time, complete censorship of alternative ways of treating health emergency. So that's just one of many examples. But people have to understand who the enemy is and how the enemy rules. And the signature ruling method is divide and conquer, which is the most effective way of controlling the masses of people, as I see it. And it works very well for them who rule. And the point is that we could do things if we wanted to, like was mentioned before. Let's say a forensic, if you want to find out what's happening, a forensic study of all the people in Congress, of their finances, their family finances, and their friends, if you want to find out who is really running the show. And the ruling class has been winning all along. It was never created as a country to be a democracy. And so people have a false notion. I listened to President Biden speak. Someone sent me the video. I don't look at television very often. And he must have mentioned the word democracy about 100 times in his speech. I mean, it's laughable because, I mean, he's talking about something that we really do not have. You know, and so what Benet taught us really works. You just say a lie long enough and people will believe it. So they believe we have a democracy. How can we have a democracy with the type of capitalist, imperialist government that we have? So that's the way I see that question.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I just want to say this before we move forward a little bit. Some may think I was very harsh in my response to Juan. But trust me, I'm speaking from experience. When we are in the media, and, for example, I'm sure that it was such an urgent issue to him to get help for someone that it didn't cross his mind that he was basically putting an undue pressure on me. And I'm prepared to do a particular program. I'm not made of stone. I do respond to things. But I also have been involved or been the victim of people playing me or attempting to. You should know, if you're listening, that we have a program, a set program. And it does not enhance your case when you use the program's time to put me or attempt to put me on the spot to say, well, can I do this? Can I leave my name and number and have somebody call me? That's not good form. It really isn't. Because what it does is, number one, you completely ignore the fact that we are engaged in a particular kind of work at the time that you call. You interrupt that and you tell us a story. And it's a very touching story, I say. It really is. you also communicate a disregard and a disrespect for what it is that was going on in service of whatever it is you wish to accomplish on our time. And at some point, people should give consideration to that. You know, when some people, I've been through this many, many times, people will call up, you're talking A, they call up and say, well, I want to talk about this. And they proceed, not caring that they are upending what you're trying to do and what your program is about. And then they make it so that you would feel embarrassed to say no. I'm never embarrassed to say no. I pay attention to the intent here. And the intent was that although there is a program in progress with its own focus, its own purpose, it doesn't dawn on you that it probably wouldn't go over very well when you barge in on the program and you take the program or attempt to take the program in the direction you want to go in, and then force the host of the program to look a little silly and heartless when the only thing that I'm doing is saying, we have a program in progress. You might have guessed that. If you were listening, you would have known that. And there are different ways to approach it. It's not get on the air and hijack the program so you get whatever it is you want to get accomplished. That does not work with me. It's bad form. It's disrespectful, not just to me, but to everybody concerned with the program. I'm not saying that nobody cares about what you are talking about, but you should exercise some good judgment. And in as much as you feel that you can, I can serve as an intermediary, that's your perception. I may have an entirely different view. I can't tell you how many times people have attempted to maneuver me into something that they want to accomplish. And they bring it to the air as if to say, see, I asked her and she said no. Well, let me restate. I will always say no. When you have the temerity to interrupt a program in progress, and there are people participating in the program, there's an audience listening to the program, and you, in your judgment, think, oh, this is perfect. I put her on the spot. So you feel embarrassed to tell me no. Well, you just saw, I don't feel embarrassed of saying no. It was not appropriate for you to interrupt the program in progress with your personal agenda and expecting that I will help you do whatever it is you were supposed to be doing. And without authenticating what it is you say or who you are, I'm supposed to link you up with a person whose great crime would have been that he was listening to this program. And you came up with the idea, brilliant idea, to use the program to therefore achieve whatever your personal agenda is. Bad all the way around. Bad all the way around. So, I needed to explain that because it happens to be a sore point for me. This is why I get a little peeved when we're doing a program, I look at it as we're doing a particular piece of work. We're at work. You may not think so, but we are at work. We have our plan. We have our agenda. We know what we're trying to accomplish. Everybody's on point. I'm on point. Callers are on point. And we're moving together in a particular direction based on the theme that's laid out. To interrupt that in such a way as to say, well, whatever you're doing, yeah, you continue, but this is what I want you to do. You're presupposing a lot about yourself. It was very disrespectful, not just to me, but to everybody listening and participating in the program. Secondly, your common sense, just plain common sense, should have told you it was the wrong thing to do. That you got a hint that it was not the appropriate time or place to raise the questions, but then you went beyond that to say, this is what I want to accomplish. I want you, so you're giving me my assignment of my own program. This is what I want you to do. No, sir. You'll have to learn a little bit about etiquette. I'm working. The people who are responding to the questions asked, they're working too. They're working to provide some kind of information that might be useful. You do not invade a program in progress with your particular issue and then make it so that you are now going to choreograph my role in your problem. You're wrong 500 ways. I'm a stickler for respect. Stickler. So when you invade a program with your specific concern, you're saying, the hell with everybody else. I don't know. I don't care. This is what I want accomplished. You're not listening really to the program. You're not contributing to the program, but you think you have an idea that it might be useful to you personally. And although you got subtle hints, I gave you a subtle hint, that this was not the right time and not the right way to raise whatever it is as an issue that you were dealing with or trying to deal with. Not the right way to do it. You ignored me. This is what I want to do. Well, you got your answer. And you will get that answer every time. I don't like rude people. I don't like ill-mannered people. I don't like people attempting to use this program as some kind of a means toward their end in achieving something. I will not permit it. Hear that. Okay, so I've said what I have had to say. It's really amazing to me that grown people can't figure this out. It's just a matter of how do we behave toward each other? How do we regard each other? I'm working. It may not sound like that to you, but I'm at work. And what we're doing is a joint effort, a joint product. We're thinking. We're talking to each other. We're trying to figure things out together. You barge in, and then you presume you have the authority to give me an assignment. I don't know what, I don't know what possessed you to do it. I'm only interested in telling you it was bad judgment, wrong, disrespectful, not just to me, but to everybody listening to this program. And you tried to put me on the spot, thinking that I would, you know, I would shrink away and give you an answer. No, you can't make me work for you. No, sir. No, sir. Not at all. So you think about that. And think about how you came across, and think about the damage you did even to the person that you're trying to help, allegedly. Okay, so that's the end of that, too. If you wish to finish up this exercise, the lines are still open. 888-874-4888. I'd be happy to hear what you're thinking. It's really, really important to me and this program. I will defend it from what you may think would be the slightest attack, because the people listening are worth it. The people listening should be defended as well. They were under the pressure of somebody barging in. It's like somebody breaking into your house and telling you what the issue is or what you're going to do. No, sir, this is my house. This is our house. And you're not going to be permitted to misbehave in our house. You got it? Okay. So let me finish off the program today by talking about these presentations. I've talked to several people who will be making presentations. I'm very excited about their enthusiasm for coming before fellow listeners and everybody who normally would listen to this program and present a different point of view. I underscore this, that it is not important whether you agree or disagree. It's important only that you appreciate the point of view and you're free to disagree with that. But we can, we have the ability to disagree without being disagreeable. Many of the people that we will be hearing are people who are self-taught, people who have acquired wisdom and knowledge the hard way, and people who know what they're talking about because they have direct experience in the subject matter. So from that perspective, I'm excited. Secondly, I like the idea that everybody is a teacher or potential teacher because they've been through a lot of things and they have learned a lot of things and they're smart. So why don't we listen to what they have to say? we have to encourage that, the exchange of information, opinions, and ideas. That's what the program is about. So even if you differ, go right ahead and differ, but we will do so with great respect for each other. So look out soon. We should start within a week and a half or so. We shall start these seminars or presentations that they're making on subject matters that they feel comfortable with, because that's where their experience has been. And I'm looking forward to it. And I am especially pleased that they should. This is a particular kind of bravery you have to have, you know. You don't just get up in front of people and say things. But the fact that they are willing and eager to do it tells me how they think about the program and the people listening to it. And I'm very honored by their enthusiasm and the way they're preparing themselves. And we should take this as a hint that there's room for everybody to grow, acquire a different skill that you think you didn't have. But this is about being in a good environment and offering yourself. And people will appreciate that. Okay, so I said that. Tomorrow is another day, and we shall sally forth. We just keep going. The main thing that I like to encourage people to do is to think. Just think. And people think that, well, the demand is that you think what I think. No. Quite the opposite. I want to hear what you're thinking and how you got to where you are thinking the way you do. How did you come up with this particular analysis? And how do you feel comfortable with that? And what can we learn from each other? I do not presume that I have the biggest brain in the world. I'm saying we all have something that we can share with somebody else. We all are potential teachers, if only we see ourselves that way. So, again, I'm looking forward to it. People are preparing themselves. And the greatest thing of all is that they're one of us. So we have to be a cheerleading squad and let them know that we appreciate the effort and the time and the energy they're taking to prepare. And again, it is not important that you must agree with what they say. It is important, though, that you are inclined to question. You're inclined to ask questions so that you could know more clearly where things stand, okay? So thanks so much for listening today. Thanks so much for contributing. And we'll meet up again tomorrow and talk some more. Bye-bye.